the word and love of God be upon us all. Amen. Some Christians believe that human beings can become perfect here and now with God's help. Others believe that such perfect union with God is impossible here on earth. In true Anglican fashion, the Episcopal Church queues up this question in our Book of Common Prayer without providing a clear answer. And if you're looking this stuff up, the theological term for this corpus of theology is the doctrine of sanctification. That's a great 10-cent word, sanctification. Some Christians think humans are totally sanctified by God's election, as evidenced by their good choices here on earth. A sanctified Christian would exude holiness. An observer would know they were Christian by their love of neighbor, and constant conversation with God. Already blotted out, their sin would be non-existent, their human imperfection imperceptible. Confession time. I know I don't see holiness everywhere I could. Sometimes sublime and beautiful things escape my notice. But I don't think I have ever met perfect person. I've known some truly smart, loving, accomplished humans, but not one of them was perfect. Certainly never met a perfect priest. I've never met a perfect cop or a perfect scientist. I've not met perfect patriots or perfect anti-fascists, and I've certainly not met perfect racists or perfect anti-racists. If imperfection is human nature, then the human enterprise ought not be perfection, but the appreciation and reconciliation of the Creator and all creatures, both spiritually and physically. Our inability to notice or name our own imperfection gets us into all kinds of mischief. Sometimes we even focus on others' imperfections in lieu of addressing our own. Jesus surely knew it. Don't complain about that speck in someone else's eye when there's a big old stick pointing out of yours. Yet God has always favored the imperfect one, the one who is faithfully trying over the one who appears to be self-sufficient and respectable. The honor of humankind was due to Jacob's twin brother Esau, the eldest son of Isaac. Rights of inheritance and social convention made that clear. The land, the animals, the good wife belonged to the furry older brother. But Jacob tricked him out of that inheritance. Then he and his mother conspired to trick blind old Isaac into blessing Jacob. And some have wondered over the centuries about the justice of God seeming to reward Jacob for such trickery. How is it okay for someone who hasn't put in the hard work or even lied to his father to become the one who bears hope, the hope of humankind to the whole world? After some forced labor at the hands of his father-in-law, Laban, Jacob made out pretty well. And now that he had been victimized by someone else's trickery, Jacob was ready to make amends with his brother. But the servants he sent ahead of him returned with an ominous message. Your brother is coming, and he is bringing a lot of guys with him. At least humbled now, if not scared, Jacob prayed to God for deliverance from Esau. If he kills me, how will you be able to keep the promise you made to multiply my descendants? And as a costly display of his own penitence, Jacob then sent flocks and flocks of his most precious goods, his sheep, his goats, his camels, ahead to Esau as reparations for his ill deeds. Still fearing for his safety and the safety of his wives and children, Jacob sent them across a stream and bedded down by himself for the evening. His household safely tucked away for the night. His flocks headed toward Edom. Jacob was not granted rest. Instead, a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Now, if you are bored of the conspiracy theories you are seeing in your social media feed, check out the centuries-old debate about the identity of Jacob's wrestling partner. I've heard this story called Jacob wrestles with God or Jacob wrestles with the angel. But the text clearly says he wrestled with a man. Regardless of who challenged who, Jacob received a blessing for the wrestling. And no one really won the match. Which is to say, the wrestling does not have a neat finish. At one point, Jacob seems to be in the lead with an advantage, but the man knocks his hip right out of joint. They only stop because the sun is coming up. And after the man blessed Jacob, Jacob limped away towards an even more perilous spiritual and emotional battle, an attempted reconciliation with a brother he dishonored and cheated, and the 400 men he was bringing with him. But the wrestling partner did not give Jacob the name God makes an easy path or God perfects. The man gave Jacob the name Israel. God contends, God challenges. Or he challenges God. God challenges. The task of humanity is to run toward that challenge and stay in it, even when our hips get knocked out of joint. So in the end of today's passage from Genesis, Jacob is limping towards Edom and a fight with his brother. As the community of St. Mark's and our nation wrestles with what faithfulness looks like in a world of pandemic and white supremacy, there will be no good and easy path. It's good or it's easy. The path Jesus offers is good, full of loaves and fishes, everything we need for the journey, but also the hard wood of the cross. So much of what will unfold in the coming days is uncertain. One thing of which I am certain is that God will challenge each of us to wrestle with how Jesus would meet the people of our age, infected with COVID and racism. Perhaps you will wrestle to love people who are racists, or people who refuse to observe local COVID guidelines for masking and social distance rules. Or perhaps you will wrestle with the reality that just because you have found a way to survive white supremacy or COVID, that does not mean that you or anyone else should ever, ever have to survive that again. That is the way of love. That is the love won on the cross that Friday so many centuries ago, that death need not beget death, that life comes from a commitment to wrestle with the biggest challenges together. When Jacob limped to Edom, he saw Esau from a distance and bowed to the ground 7 times as a sign of humility. Jacob seems to have assumed that his brother was consumed with vengeance and bitterness. But Esau was not. Esau ran towards Jacob, wrapped his hairy arms around his stunned brother, kissed him, and they cried. Jacob was not a perfect man. Neither was his brother. But the two of them wrestled with what they had done and what they had not done. And when they finally embraced after so long, they were still imperfect. But the wrestling was worth it. My friends, I don't think we're ready to embrace one another again. But I think this wrestling will be worth it. Amen.